Welcome to the Care of Souls podcast with Dr. Stuart Scott and Pastor Adam Tyson. Dr. Scott serves as the Executive Director of 180 Ministries and Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University. Pastor Tyson serves as the Senior Pastor of Placer Rita Bible Church and Adjunct Professor at the Master's University as well. Visit 180ministries.org and masters.edu to learn more about their programs and services in biblical counseling. I'm your host, Mark Smith, and we're thankful to bring you this next episode on Care of Souls, in which Stuart and Adam discuss practical and profound principles from Scripture to help you faithfully follow Christ. Martha Peace joins us again to talk about Chapter 12 of The Excellent Wife and the often abused concept of submission described in Scripture. Submission in marriage is commonly mischaracterized as devaluing women and their role, but the biblical view does exactly the opposite by valuing women as God created them and appreciating their role as a necessary complement to their husbands in marriage. Listen to Pastor Adam, Dr. Scott, and Carolyn McGuire talk with Martha about this essential truth that needs to be defended and upheld in today's culture more than ever.
All right, Martha, you know, when we think about a wife's role, one of the things that come up, as you mentioned earlier, was the issue of submission. And I have to, I chuckle a little bit when I hear that, knowing your testimony and how you were a staunch feminist, that if you had heard the whole topic of women submit to husbands, even back then, what would have been your response? And here you are now submissive to God and His Word and teaching wives to be submissive to their husbands. Can you help us with just understanding that transition?
Well, I think God has to give you a new heart to be willing to submit to His Word. Before I was saved, and when Ed was doing his Sunday school class on Friday nights at our house, at one point he read in 1 Peter chapter 3 about women having a gentle and quiet spirit. Well, that just irritated me to no end. I didn't know what that was, but I knew I didn't have it. And then he kept reading, and it says it's for wives to be submissive to their husbands. And I was so angry at him. The hatred just welled up in my heart.
Now, hold on a second. This is before or after you became a Christian?
Before I was a Christian.
Just curious.
And Ed had started bringing his Bible with him. And I reached across the table. I grabbed his Bible. I jerked it out of his hand, and I threw it in his face. And everybody, including me, was stunned. I was even embarrassed by that one. And then he stopped talking. He didn't say another word.
Would you like another piece of pizza?
Yeah, really. That's about it. And so anyway, I was definitely a feminist. I read some of the feminist books back in the 60s when they started coming out. And I remember when Roe versus Wade was being debated, and I hoped against hope that it would pass. That just makes me sick when I think about that. But I was such a feminist that when I got saved and I started reading the Bible for the first time, except for the Gospel of John, I started in Genesis, and I had never read the Bible. And so a lot of it I didn't understand, but I just kept reading. And then I got to the New Testament, and it was like every other sentence, I'm like, oh no, I'm thinking that wrong, or I'm doing that wrong. And then I realized one day that what you think could be a sin, and I'm like, I am in trouble here. And so, but when I got to the parts about the wife, and my mother read the book, and she said, I don't think the girls are going to like this. I said, I don't think they're going to like it either. I don't like it. But I said, I just want to honor God in this and help women think it through. And so anyway, I was more surprised than anybody at how the book started selling.
Sure.
And it was just word of mouth.
Yeah.
that it went from one person to another.
Wow. And that process then that Dr. Scott's asking about, just from being that feminist to being a Christian who comes to God's word, trembles at his word, that process maybe even developed a little bit deeper in your heart as you were writing the material and kind of doing a deep dive yourself and studying that from
Scripture?
Well,
yeah, that was difficult because I was determined I wasn't going to write anything that I didn't believe or mm-hmm. try to do. But when it came to submission, I took that very seriously, and not just with the big things, but the little things mm-hmm. too. It came to a head for us in our marriage when one day I was washing dishes, and Sanford had this thing about if you're washing a dish, you get every tiny little soap bubble off the dish. Mm-hmm. And I'm just always in a hurry, and he would fuss at me about it mm-hmm. before I was a Christian and then after. And so I had this glass that it was soapy and I was rinsing it. He was walking through the kitchen and he noticed there must have been one soap bubble left on the glass. And I was trying to put it in the dish drain. And he said, "You didn't get all the soap bubbles off." And my first thought was, if you don't like how I'm washing these dishes, you can do it yourself. But the Lord helped me. I didn't say a word. So I thought, well, he's telling me to rinse it again carefully, which is normal. This is right. Mm-hmm. He's not asking me to sin. He's not asking me to do anything wrong. And he kind of froze behind me. I think he thought I was going to throw it at him. And
had there been a history of that before Christ?
No, okay, no, all right. No, I have standards. Plus, he was bigger and stronger than yes. I am. And so anyway, my arm was outreached, and the water was still running, and I tell myself, you need to rinse it again. My arm would not move. I did not want to do it. And I held it so long, my arm began to hurt. And so then I started talking to my arm, saying, "You can do this." And so it finally slowly started coming back toward the water. I rinsed it carefully, and I put the glass back. And behind me, he said, "You did it." I said, "Well, you told me to." He said, "Yes, but you did it." And we just both cracked up laughing. So it's the heart of the issue. Wanting to please your husband, you want to be his joy, and you want to honor the Lord.
Yeah. In fact, that's the title of this chapter on submission, The Wife's Joy.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about why you chose that title for this chapter.
Well, in a previous church that we were in, there was a young woman who was in my Bible class, and she struggled with submission. And she went home one day and told her husband, "Martha said I have to be submissive, but I don't have to like it." And so he came to me at a Christmas party, adult Christmas party, and I had never had a conversation with him. We knew each other's names and said hello on Sunday morning. And he came up and he said, "Is being submissive to your husband something you do, but you hate it?" And I was shocked that he said that. And I said, "No, it's my joy." And he said, "I thought so." And I said, "Why are you asking me this?" And he told me what his wife had said. I said, "That's not exactly what I said. Mm-hmm. There will be times when you are not going to want to do what mm-hmm. the husband wants to do, but it can be your joy because you're serving the Lord. Mm-hmm. You're doing it for the Lord's sake."
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the beauty of walking in obedience, trusting the Lord, submitting to his word. And we really want all obedience to be done, not only with the outer action, but with that inner person of the heart, with the attitude being as unto the Lord, right?
Right.
Well, the joy, has that joy been something that you've seen grow in you more and more over the years?
Yes, absolutely. I've learned how to make a biblical appeal but I have to pray about it. I have to think about it before I make an appeal. And if it's something really important to me, I will appeal and ask him to do another thing, whatever it is. But before I make the appeal, I say, but whatever you decide, that's what we'll do. And I mean it. Mm. And so...
Now, how many appeals do you get to make? Just one?
Yeah.
What do you recommend? Let's talk about this for a minute, because it's such a practical understanding of submission, and yet you're saying you can make an appeal. Just talk to us a little bit more about what that might look like in a, you know, if there's a really big sticking point between a husband and a wife, and she knows she needs to submit with joy as unto the Lord to her husband, right. But she just doesn't think he's making the right choice.
Right.
So she's going to make an appeal and then follow whatever. That's what you're saying, right? I'll submit to you no matter what.
If she keeps appealing, she's just manipulating and not taking no for an answer,
right.
Like a child would do.
Yeah.
I would say, Lou Priello used to say, if you have new information, you can make another appeal. Mm-hmm. So you just have to be careful about that. Mm-hmm. So now, if he's doing something unwise or foolish, that's a whole different issue. That's a sin issue. And you appeal to his conscience, if he's an unbeliever, to do what's right. Mm. If he's a believer, you appeal using scripture. Mm-hmm. And then if he is still steadfast and immovable in a sinful bent, then it becomes, you know, an issue of biblically dealing with somebody else's sin. Mm-hmm.
And this comes up, would you say, pretty regularly in your counseling today, where you're dealing with women who are in difficult marriages? From what I know about you, Martha, sometimes a woman is willing to come to you, but the husband's not yet on board. And so you're counseling just one-on-one with the wife for a while until maybe God uses her example to bring him into the picture. So
right.
You're probably doing a lot of this kind of counseling with ladies.
Well, yes, and sometimes they are in very difficult situations, and sometimes they're in what the world would call abusive situations, either emotionally or physically. And when I believe her, when she's telling me, but I'm also aware that I'm not hearing the other side of the
right.
story, and I want to be for her, but I also want to be for him. Mm. One of the first things I ask her is, I draw a circle on the board and I'll say, if this represents 100% of the problems in your marriage, what percent do you think is his fault? What percent do you think is your fault? And I get some really interesting answers to that question. But maybe she says, well, it's 40% mine and 60% his. Mm-hmm. Then I take her to Matthew chapter 7, and I read about before you can see clearly, to get the beam out of your brother's eye, you have to take the speck and the beam
right.
out of your own eye. And I'll say, that is where we're going to begin.
So you would say to her, let's work on your 40%.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now, if she tells me, he hits me, he shoves me, he threatens me, if she's in an abusive relationship, that's where we begin.
Yeah.
She needs protection.
Right. And in that case, Martha, as a certified counselor, you would consider yourself as a mandated reporter of where that physical abuse would be reported to authorities, or how do you handle that?
Well, it depends. If she needs to call the police, I will tell her that clearly and show her in the Bible where it says, let every man be in subjection to the governing authorities. But I can't be her witness. She has to come forward and tell the truth. Mm-hmm. When you're dealing with true abusive relationships, it's scary. They're frightened. Mm-hmm. They may need their husband for him to work and pay the bills. He may have threatened her. He may have physically assaulted her. I had one wife who was in an abusive relationship, and he had guns, and he threatened her with the guns. So it we take these things very seriously. Mm-hmm. And I'll go with her to the police. Mm-hmm. We'll come up with a biblical plan of action, what she should tell the children if he threatens. And she says to the children, come with me, we're going to leave. Mm-hmm. She needs to have car keys where she can get to them. She needs to have her cell phone charged. She needs to, but on average, women in situations like that will leave their husband 13 times before they will make a final move. Mm-hmm. So,
meaning they'll come back, keep coming back to it until finally they realize this needs to be a permanent change if he doesn't change.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
and you can also at that point get your elders involved if she is a church member, get other counselors and pastors involved to help you guys walk through that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And we do.
And let's talk about that's with the physical abuse. Let's talk a little bit about what you mentioned, verbal or emotional abuse. I see that being a real common, you know, thing today, and I think rightly so. There is a such a thing as verbal or emotional abuse. How would you define that? How do you help the wife work through that?
Well, you have to redefine things biblically. Mm-hmm. That's sin. If he's got an anger problem, or if he's selfish, or if he's malice, if he's mean, that's just sin. And you deal with it like any sin issue. If he's an unbeliever, you can appeal to his conscience to do what's right, but not use scripture. If he's a believer, you start the church discipline process. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, go to your brother privately, and if he repents, you've won your brother. It's the end of the matter. And then if he doesn't repent or stop, then she takes two or more witnesses with her, and then it goes on to the elders.
Yeah.
So
I think what I'm kind of getting at is, do you think that there's some wives who have a tough marriage and they argue and fight verbally, and she's saying, hey, I'm being abused, and then you're trying to discern, well, you know, is this something significant enough to warrant the abuse? Or you're saying, in a sense, all sin is abuse. So she is being abused. Nevertheless, she still has a part to play in how she, you know, lives before the Lord.
Well, abuse is, being a victim is popular mm-hmm. these days.
Right.
And I'm not making light of abuse at an ACBC conference of maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I did a whole lecture on mm-hmm. abuse. I did a lot of research on it. Mm-hmm. And I take it very seriously. But just because somebody snaps at her or won't let her have her way, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean she's being abused. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we biblical counselors have to do is take their diagnosis or their descriptive terms and redefine them using the scriptures. Then there's hope, and then there's practical help.
It's so true. Well, what would you say to the lady who, the wife who is struggling with that whole word joy again? You're putting joy together with submission. And she, let's just say she's in the church. She knows the Bible. She understands Ephesians 5, 1 Peter 3, but she's just being honest with you and said, I'm just not experiencing any joy when I do that.
Well, the joy is serving the Lord mm-hmm. and honoring Him and obeying His word. It's not always joy that you always get your way.
Back to obedience. As long as you're submitting to God
right.
and doing what He's called you to do,
right.
He will give you joy in your obedience.
Right.
And that's a promise that Scripture gives us.
One of the things that I talk about in chapter 13 of The Excellent Wife is the biblical principles on being submissive. And it doesn't mean that the wife is inferior. In fact, many wives are superior to their husbands. They're smarter. They're better looking.
Sure. They smell better.
They smell better.
They have better taste. I gotcha.
They're wiser. They're just wonderful. But it's the word hupotasso in the Greek is a ranking. It's a military term. It's to be ranked under. So this is an authority structure that God has set up from the beginning in Genesis, not because he is a male chauvinist, victim mm-hmm. of being a Roman citizen.
Right.
So he appeals, when he gives these principles, he appeals back to God's original intent.
Mm-hmm. And that's so important because mm-hmm. some people would say that's a result of the fall and the result of sin entering the world. That's why they're ranking order like it is.
Right.
And you're saying, Martha, no, the scriptures teach this back to creation, the created mm-hmm. order, that we see those principles before the fall. Well, in the world today, we're hearing a lot about complementarianism, egalitarianism, a new word that's been coined in the last couple of years, at least as I've heard it, called soft complementarianism. What is that?
Well, egalitarians believe that the husband and wife are equal and that the women are equal with the pastor. They can mm-hmm. be pastors, they can go to seminary, they can whatever.
You're saying they're equal with no difference in their roles or responsibilities.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then complementarians complement their husband. It's not, they complete their mm-hmm. husband, not compliment, like, you look nice
right.
today.
Yeah.
That is the role of the wife yeah. and being biblically submissive. This, I've seen over, the Excellent Wife book has been out 26 years. It's hard to believe. But over these years, I have seen fads mm-hmm. come and go.
Yeah.
And one of them now is this soft complementarians.
Uh-huh.
These are women who are, they say they're Bible believing. They go to a solid church. And what they say is, people like me and my book position a wife to be abused by her husband because I teach biblical submission. And that's so ironic because I wrote the book to protect wives who are in difficult marriages.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So
you're saying you wrote the book partly in contrast to those who would say you submit no matter what.
Right.
And when you wrote your book, you said you submit when it's biblical.
Right.
And so now this soft complementarianism is saying sometimes you just don't have to submit.
Well, one of the books that has been written by a soft complementarian, she read my article that I wrote about soap bubble submission. And she really honestly makes fun of me in her book.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading the book and I'm like, she's talking about me.
Are you going back to the soap bubble illustration about submitting to your husband and everything, even rinsing the dish
yeah,
twice?
The mm-hmm. little things, mm-hmm. not just the big things.
Right.
Jesus said, he who is faithful in least will also be faithful in much, and that's true. So anyway, but
the, So what was she making fun of? She's saying that you shouldn't have to rinse the dish
twice? She just thought it was ridiculous that he would even comment on how I was washing.
So in that soft complementarian view, it's not submitting in everything, just those things that have more importance or value? What are they saying?
In their mind, mm-hmm. more importance or value. And so, and they would say that women should not be elders, they shouldn't be pastors. But you can tell when you read their books, they're chomping at the bit. They're struggling mm-hmm. there with that.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Scott, you've done probably some research and have been asked a lot of questions about the same topic, soft complementarianism. What would you say about it?
Yeah, I was for 1 minute there when Martha was going strong. I was going to say, preach it, Martha. I thought that probably wouldn't be good. but there is this, there's always been a rebelliousness in our sinful flesh against God and his authority. I mean, that's just the enemy within. Mm. And we definitely see it ramped up in Genesis 3, where a wife doesn't want any husband to rule over her.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have this double barrel anti-authority, especially in a marriage relationship. And I think with today and the whole culture that's anti-God, anti-authority, disrespectful, that there is a way that the Bible says, stop being conformed to this world. And we're being conformed. And it's stop being conformed. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But I'm just watching that swell with typically, it seems like women who share their stories of difficult marriages or someone that they know where there was maybe an abusive situation, and they're using the experience that they've had to almost reinterpret the scripture to come back and lean towards egalitarianism. It resonates with our sinful flesh. It resonates with the culture. So it's almost like the lights are dimming in their minds, and they don't even realize it's getting darker.
So, Stuart, how would a woman determine in that soft complementarian role, how would she determine when she should submit, when she shouldn't submit?
You know, I mean, using a lot of the biblical principles that Martha brings up in her chapters, we'd first go to the scripture on the commands and principles. But I would think if there was a place where they're struggling with, do I or do I not, I think that's the place where older women, mature with the scriptures, can help teach them. So the Titus 2 passage, if they don't get help there, they can go to their elders, their church leaders, to find some shepherding. Help us with this. Help us navigate. Is this a conscience issue? Is it really a wisdom issue? Is it a biblical doctrinal issue? Kind of help us. We get too emotionally involved in it. It just kind of lock on it. I would say submit, have other godly women to speak into her life, and then the leadership as well if it gets to that point.
That's helpful.
I know that this is an issue that comes up so often, with especially when there is manipulation and that kind of thing in a marriage where one person is very dominant and is not living maybe with his wife in an understanding way. And so it creates an area where, and Martha's addressed this in one of the chapters on submission, but this bitterness and struggling with bitterness over having to submit to someone who's maybe unreasonable or unkind or just very demanding. So these principles of just helping them to understand that you're doing it as unto the Lord and not as unto your husband is a primary way that we deal with it, and encouraging them in that, to just trust the Lord with that He is at work even in that process, because it's hard to do that and think, well, they're never going to change, but I have to keep doing this. And so encouraging them to keep just having that principle always in their minds, that they want to please the Lord and do what He wants them to do. And even Martha having to instruct her arm so that she can, you know, do what she's told to do, even when it seems ridiculous, you know, maybe.
But yeah, if you have a husband that's just being demanding, I mean, micro kind of demanding, yeah, that she can, if he's a professing Christian, she can lovingly bring that up to him with respect. Mm-hmm. And if he won't listen and keeps this up, that she can say, let's get someone else involved to try to help us. Mm-hmm. And that's the one anothering,
right,
that God has given the 35 one anothers for her to do, that she loves him too much to allow him to live that way, because it's very selfish. And she can bring that up to him, get someone else to come into their lives, and he can't forbid that, because that's Christian one anothering.
Right. And it is a process to get a woman to that point, because one that has been very dominated by someone else to get them to, you know, trust in the Lord enough to do that and take that step, that's a very hard step. Yeah. And Martha even said with severe abuse, 13 times they would, you know, come back to that same situation before they do something about it. So even in emotional abuse, there is that tendency to just be bitter in your own heart and then not to deal with it in a biblical way. So it takes some time to come to that point.
Yeah, even as a counselor, as a male counselor, when I hear about abuse with a spouse, I can't report it. It's the spouse has to report it.
Oh, okay.
You know, unless it's an elderly spouse or someone with a disability, then I'm mandated to do that, as well as with children. But when it's just a spouse, I'm encouraging them to report, please. But I can't do it for them. They have to do it.
We hope you were refreshed and perhaps reproved regarding what the scripture teaches about submission and the wife's role in marriage. As was mentioned today, God doesn't command wives to submit to put them in harm's way. Thankfully, God ordained government and law enforcement to restrain and in some cases prosecute justly and swiftly the physical abuse of wives and of anyone who's abused physically. God commands women to submit to put his own glory and the gospel on display as wives who sincerely submit to their husbands do so joyfully. We hope you were blessed by the Care of Souls podcast. Please pray for us at 180 Ministries and the Masters University as we seek to edify the church and exalt Christ through biblical counseling that is faithful to Scripture. Consider supporting 180 Ministries financially so we can continue to bring you sound wisdom from God's Word on these everyday topics. Visit 180ministries.org to give online and send an email to info@180ministries.org with your feedback and any questions. We'd be grateful to hear how this podcast is helping you. And we look forward to having you join us on the next episode of the Care of Souls podcast as we discuss exemplary husbands and excellent wives.